Welcome to The Virtual Shift, a show looking at the seismic changes happening in healthcare with virtual care at the epicenter. Join me and my guests as we look at key cultural and policy shifts impacting how providers, payers, and patients connect, as well as how care is being reimagined both for today and the future. Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Tom Foley. You can learn more about this show by visiting the program on healthcarenowradio.com, and be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at Foley Tom, and the hashtag, The Virtual Shift. Today, we have a very special guest on, Purva Rao, and she is the Chief Strategy Officer at CMS Innovation Center at Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Purva, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Some very exciting times at CMS, I'm sure. I was very excited to read a white paper that was produced recently, earlier this month, I believe. And the white paper is entitled Driving Healthcare Systems Transformation, a Strategy for CMS Innovation Center's Second Decade. So before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and your role at CMS Innovation Center?
Yeah, happy to. Excited to talk to you today. So I'm a psychologist by training, actually. So a clinical psychologist. So a lot of the work that I do is guided by, you know, my initial training. I never practiced, went straight from graduate school, had a background in policy research and went straight from graduate school to the Hill and spent about 5 years on Capitol Hill. My last job there was working on the Affordable Care Act. And so, you know, the Innovation Center, the CMS Innovation Center was established in the Affordable Care Act in the ACA. And that's really, you know, where it got its start. And after that, you know, about 5 years on the Hill, I really wanted some private sector experience. I really come from an academic background and a clinical background to government. Really wanted to understand some of the incentives and levers and sort of how policy actually got implemented on the private side. So really spent the last 10 years in policy and business strategy consulting, really at the intersection of where all those things come together, and focus a lot of my work on value-based payment. And then I've been doing some teaching, wrote a book on the ACA about 5 or 6 years ago, and have done some blog writing as well, which, you know, Tom, you're very active in the space as well. So you can understand that. And then about two...
What was the title of your book?
It was called the Affordable Care Act, Examining the Facts. So really trying to break down a lot of the different claims about the law from both sides of the aisle, and then trying to use nonpartisan evidence to really analyze those claims about the law, things that, you know, people thought it was going to do, or things people were claiming the law was doing. And, you know, taught that, actually used in several of my classes as well, because it's really, I view it as a framework for breaking down a lot of the claims and the things that we hear about in healthcare, and trying to use less partisan or nonpartisan evidence to break down the veracity of those kind of claims that people often make. And I'm sure you hear, you know, I'm sure you do.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I definitely hear, yes.
No. And then about 2.5 months ago, I started at the CMS Innovation Center as the Chief Strategy Officer. And there, my role really, and I'm still kind of getting my bearings, 2.5 months is not very long, but it's really to oversee the implementation of our new strategy, of much of which is laid out in the white paper that you just referenced. So it's working, you know, across all of our model teams, thinking about, you know, what the future of our model portfolio looks like, you know, tracking our progress against some of the metrics that we have started to lay out in that white paper. You know, I work very closely with our teams and our leadership. I'm thinking about how our existing model portfolio and our new models can really drive system transformation, and really kind of diving deeper on some of our areas that we know are, you know, of, you know, real strategic importance to accomplishing our objectives. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, I think earlier when we were chatting a little bit, you know, primary care. So, you know, how are we thinking about advanced primary care and accountable care organizations? How are we thinking about defining person-centered care and operationalizing that in our models? And then how are we thinking about financial incentives or other things in our models that get more providers into value-based payment and care?
Interesting. So before we get talking about the white paper, which I'm actually very eager to do, I often look at things a bit simplistically. So my audience knows that I talk about some few statistics that I think are the fundamental drivers to the need for innovation. The one statistic is we have a growing older, ager, sicker population, less doctors and nurses available to do that. So the model has to change, right? So because the question ultimately is, how do you take care of an older, ager, sick, a growing older, ager, sicker population with less doctors and nurses? The other argument is that CMS themselves has data on their website that ultimately states, if you do the math, is that the average Medicare patient with five chronic conditions sees nine different doctors, and they spend 15 hours in front of their doctor on an annual basis. The big question that I always ask is, what happens in the 8,745 hours? Because that's where health happens. Care happens in the 15 hours. Health happens in, did I listen to my doctor? Am I compliant and persistent with my plans? Am I taking my meds, right? So is anyone listening in that time frame? And I comment that from a few different experiences. One, the audience, and I'm not going to repeat it. My father had diabetes, and every possible complications to diabetes he had, including amputations. My father-in-law had Parkinson's, and that was a separate struggle. My mother had cancer, and my mother-in-law. Obviously, I'm not mentioning names, but my mother-in-law just had a hip replacement, and a month later, she had to have it replaced, right? Because of home care services and other areas that I'm not going to get into. But the point there being is, care in the home is so, so important. It's not just what happens when you're in front of the doctor, it's what happens when you're not in front of the doctor that ultimately makes a big difference. So, and with 6 out of 10 adults having a chronic condition, we have a long road ahead of us in the context of, how do you change the growth of chronic conditions, I would argue, because that starts when you're born, right? What you do in your late teens and early 20s might actually affect you when you're 60 and older, right? So so the behavioral change is a lot of what comes into whether or not any strategy works, because as the provider, and I'll get off my bandwagon in a second, as the provider goes along his continuum, his or her continuum, from episodic care to value-based care, they'll never get there, as I've presented many times before, they'll never get there if the patient themselves isn't on an awareness to wellness continuum. Because the two have to be partners. And the last thing I'll say is, I've sat around many kitchen tables and talk about, do you really know, from a consumer, what value-based care is? What's your responsibility in that model? Oftentimes, health systems say, hey, I'm at risk. But the patient, when you got diabetes, and diabetes doesn't hurt, so there's got to be some level of collaboration in this new model. So with that, so tell us, you talk about initially some discoveries, some learnings, actually. Mm-hmm. There were some key learnings. Give us a little sense of what those learnings were, if you don't mind.
Yeah, happy to. And kind of thanks for the context. I think we all have, some more than others, but stories about how our families or we've been touched in different ways by the healthcare system. And unfortunately, the experience is often one that can be a little bit disorienting for folks, right? And so I think that's why our renewed vision for this next decade is really achieving equitable outcomes and, being able to deliver kind of whole person integrated care for beneficiaries. And, first you have to set the vision, and then now our job is to figure out how to implement that through the innovation center's capabilities and models. But I think our team started on this journey before I came on board 2.5 months ago. So since March, the team's really been working to think about what our strategic refresh would look like. And this included a review of what's been accomplished over the last decade by the Innovation Center in its first 10 years. Over 50 different models that pay differently for care delivery have been launched. And so they looked at what are the lessons learned from those models and from all of this work of the last decade, and then also talked to internal experts and external experts and leaders to kind of inform where would we want to head. And out of that process, came these lessons learned that you just alluded to. And so that really kind of, I think, formed the foundation for what the refresh, you know, has kind of the refresh strategy has looked like. And one of the first ones, and I think this is one of the lessons that has become very clear coming out of, well, hopefully coming out of the pandemic, are the sort of inequities in the health system and how those actually result in very different sets of outcomes for different beneficiaries and different parts of our population. And so one of the lessons learned is that we really need to think about health equity and embedding health equity in all of our models. So we're, you know, learning that and that, you know, we really need to understand better what the different barriers that different providers are facing in enrolling our models. So I think one thing, Tom, I want to like say that I think might help listeners is our kind of, you know, North Star is being able to facilitate the delivery of more whole person integrated care. And we do that by trying to test new and innovative payment models and care delivery models. But the people that are enrolling in our models are the providers, right? Because they're the ones delivering care. And so a lot of times, in the paper and in the way that we're thinking about this, in order to increase the reach of our models to more beneficiaries, especially underserved populations, we have to identify the providers that are caring for them or the providers that are located in those communities. And we need to do a better job of being able to understand the barriers for them to participate in value-based care and payment, like you referenced earlier, and then be able to design our models so that we are reducing those barriers. So it makes it easier for them to say, yeah, I want to try to participate in this new way of delivering care. You know, I am going to have the resources to kind of build new care teams to take care of my patients, to really undergo care transformation. And then, you know, obviously that results in a different way of partnering, hopefully, with patients in their care.
On a recording just before this, I had talked to a couple experts on FQHCs and patient-centered medical home. What was interesting about that discussion was in an FQHC, you know, obviously targeting the underserved, although anyone could use those services, is that on the board of an FQHC, you have patients. And I thought that that was an awesome model. And how do you get the healthcare constituents, the providers, to see it from a different perspective? And I often think, and that particular model seems to be producing some interesting results when it comes to outcome measures, especially within the context of a patient-centered medical home. So any thoughts on that as you roll out the strategy on how the consumer is brought into the conversation?
Yeah, so I'll tell you a couple things. You know, the Innovation Center is always engaged with patient and beneficiary groups, but the way that we are engaging with them groups, I think moving forward, we're hoping will be a little bit more expansive and build on what we've done. So I think, you know, the first thing is we're going to be doing a series of listening sessions, including ones that are patient and beneficiary focused. We're also trying to increase or expand the types and numbers of organizations that we are talking to so that we're hearing from people we haven't necessarily historically heard from. And that means reaching out to people and not, you know, necessarily, you know, waiting for people to come to us. And I think one of the other things we really are trying to think about to do more is use patient engagement, patient feedback across the life cycle of our model. So if you're testing something new, there's the ideation point, right? Where you're just trying to think this is a concept, then you're developing the concept, then you're putting the design of that model together, and then you're implementing it, and then you're evaluating it. Like, did it do what we thought it was going to do? And there is a role for patient perspectives and patient feedback and input across a life cycle of that model from ideation to evaluation. And we're really, you know, thinking hard about how to do that. And we think that'll make, you know, that'll hopefully get us closer to making sure the work that we are doing is more patient-centered.
Interesting. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Virtual Shift. I'm your host, Tom Foley, and we are speaking with Apurva Raul. She is the Chief Strategy Officer at CMS Innovation Centers at Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And we're actually talking about a white paper that was produced entitled Driving Health Systems Transformation, a Study for CMS Innovation Center's Second Decade. So we talked a little bit about the lessons learned There are five pillars to the strategy. Can you talk a little bit to those five pillars?
Yeah, happy to. So, you know, we have five strategic objectives or pillars that are really guiding and helping us prioritize our work. The first is driving accountable care. And, you know, Tom, earlier when you were talking about having, you know, kind of an aging demographic and some of the data that you laid out, right? You know, Medicare beneficiaries, five conditions and, you know, seeing nine different providers, and how do we create the conditions for partnership between providers and their patients, right? I think driving this first pillar about driving accountable care is really essential to that. One of our central goals is to increase the number of our beneficiaries in relationships with providers that are accountable for the quality of their care and also for the overall costs of their care, right? So that requires coordination in the delivery of care across different providers and across different settings. And so, you know, core to this, you've talked a little bit about, I think you've mentioned patient-centered medical homes a couple times. So this, you know, this requires increasing beneficiary access to what we think of as advanced primary care practices and accountable care organizations or ACO type models that really coordinate and are integrated with specialty care to kind of meet the full range of patient needs. So that's, you know, pillar number one. The second, I talked a little bit about some of our equity learnings, but the second is really to advance health equity. So this is a huge area of focus, not only for the CMS Innovation Center, or for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services broadly in the Department of Health and Human Services as well. And, you know, core to the Innovation Center's mission is quality. And as, you know, as part of our strategy to improve quality, we're committed, you know, we view advancing health equity as kind of critical to that. And so we're really increasing our focus on underserved populations there and looking at how do we get more providers like FQHCs and other safety net providers into our models. The third is supporting innovation. So, you know, you referenced earlier how many, you know, we have an aging demographic. We have people that, you know, obviously spend more time at home, hopefully, than they do in front of the their doctors. And how do we, you know, what's happening in those over 8,000 other hours that you referenced? And I think those are some of the things we're thinking about in this objective of ours. How do we create and develop models that enables a delivery of whole person integrated care that meets the needs and goals of patients? And so, you know, one piece of this, for example, is making sure that we are finding ways to give beneficiaries the option to receive more home-based care, you know, or in home in their care in their home and in their communities. And separate from my work at the Innovation Center, before I came on board, I had a blog post that was published in Health Affairs in August on this issue about how to make APMs work better for patients. And one of those ways is, you know, really looking at home and community-based options for those that, you know, want to receive their care that way. And then it's also enabling, giving providers different tools that allow them to communicate and engage their patients differently. Again, getting at one of your kind of points earlier. So that means, you know, if you want to be able to change care at the point of care and you want to, you know, you need actionable, more timely data about who your patients are and what their needs are. And so, you know, we're doing a lot of work around how we provide more actionable and practice-specific data that can influence care management, you know, at the point of care or closer to the point of care. How do we disseminate best practices? Like I said, we've had over 50 models that have launched, almost 30 of which are, you know, operating right now. We have an entire group at the Innovation Center dedicated to learning and diffusion. And so how do we disseminate more best practices that we're gathering from our model participants? How do we, you know, create more peer-to-peer learning collaboratives and opportunities? And those are the things that really can support providers and care teams in transforming the way and changing the way that they're delivering care with their patients. And then there are also different payments and regulatory flexibilities often that we already have in some of our models. But, you know, those are kind of CMS or, you know, Medicare program rules, for instance, that the Innovation Center may have the ability in some cases to waive or modify to try to enable the kinds of care that you and I are talking about. The fourth objective is addressing affordability. So I'm sure you've talked about this before, but the cost of healthcare is ever increasing and really affects a lot of families' pocketbooks. And so, you know, the Innovation Center's mandate is to reduce healthcare expenditures in the Medicare and, you know, Medicaid and CHIP programs. But we also want to be thinking about when we're thinking about models that if we're trying to reduce federal health spending, we're also thinking about ways that we might be able to impact or lower patient out-of-pocket costs or our beneficiaries' out-of-pocket costs. And that could be very directly in terms of, you know, your copay. But there's lots of other ways that people face indirect costs from the way that the health system is structured, right? So it's not just your copay, right? But it's the how many different doctors or, you know, providers you have to go see, you know, if your, you know, imaging is, if things are happening in different places. There's a lot of, you know, for some of our Medicaid beneficiaries, it could be that, you know, transportation is very difficult for them to get to a provider or wait times or other things like that. And so we want to be thinking about both direct and I think those indirect burdens on beneficiaries. And then the last one before I turn it back to you is partnering to achieve system transformation. So this vision and this white paper it is bold and it's comprehensive. And so this is not something that the CMS Innovation Center can do alone. But we really need to, we're going to be, you know, working to align our priorities and work across the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the federal government more broadly, but also, you know, really working, talked about patients and beneficiaries earlier, but also thinking about, you know, providers, other payers, states to kind of achieve this vision. And those partnerships are going to be really important.
Yeah, I will agree that it is bold. I love it. You guys did a great, the team did a great job in putting it together. Just a few questions, and we only have a few minutes left. You know, when you talk about accountable care, I often, because accountable care potentially puts the onus on the provider. So I often ask, who's accountable? What would we put on the patient in the context of, okay, we're giving you care, but we need you to be compliant and persistent with the program. Otherwise, a lot of investment for nothing, one, right? So it's all about helping them get better. And I'm all for that. And then on the innovation front, you know, there's a lot of costs. And when you talk about innovation, what you're not mentioning is the adoption of technology, right? So, you know, how do I adopt remote patient monitoring, the medical devices that I need, potentially the computing platform that I need, potentially forget about Wi-Fi and go to cellular and things of that nature. So, and then even in what I loved in the report, you even talk about meals. And I thought was a direct hit in the context of, okay, it was socioeconomic data. I'm measuring my vitals, my providers, but I can't afford a healthy meal. And that ultimately is an impacting factor relative to how do I get to wellness? And that, because that's what I'm trying to do as a consumer. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I'll, you know, talk a little bit about the technology piece of this. You know, that really, I think we think of that, we're starting to think about that in regards to like our supporting innovation objective. And, you know, you brought up remote patient monitoring and there are a lot of, you know, payment rules in the Medicare program around how, you know, different technologies can be used and what's paid for. So I think, you know, those are places where, you know, if we can encourage or make it easier for providers that are engaging in value-based care to be able to use those kinds of remote patient monitoring and other services, I think those are the kinds of things that we want to look at. And that's actually part of the reason we're having listening sessions and really talking to providers that are in our models or aren't, and just as importantly, aren't participating in our models to find out what tools do you need. Whether they're technology or other flexibilities, do you need to really be able to engage with your patients? What would make it easier for you to be able to do that, especially if you are in this framework where you are, you know, responsible for the quality and the costs of patient care? Because I think that's that's an important point.
I would encourage you to not only have listening sessions with providers, but I would bring personally Medicare and Medicaid members in to and have hear directly from the patient, because I think that's the perspective. If we're not going to address that, then they won't engage. And if they're not engaging, the investment, which I think you're making is the right one, again, is going to be mitigated.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry if I didn't reference it earlier, but those are some of the listening sessions that we're having. And, okay. You know, we absolutely need to, you know, we're going to be speaking to patient beneficiary groups. Folks that are, you know, receiving care on the ground. And that's a huge area of focus for us. And then, you also mentioned some of the social determinants of health, like food and housing supports, which, you know, we've kind of talked about, because you're absolutely right. You can have all of the right medical care in place, perhaps, but if you can't can't afford food or you don't have stable housing, it's going to be hard to, you know, for that person to kind of, achieve their kind of optimal like health status. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And so, those are other places where, you know, we have some work, underway, in some of these spaces already, but, we have some health equity related and social determinant of health related, initiatives that the center is working on to really think about when we're designing a model, what are some of those opportunities, and what kinds of, other needs might we need to address. And when I say that, I also mean, you know, some of this is screening for those kinds of services and then making sure and then, you know, helping providers and patients link up to those community-based organizations. I think you talked about CBOs earlier, being able to link up to them so people get the services that they need.
Awesome. We're going to have to end it there, Purva. I would imagine, I think I found the white paper on the CMS website.
Yeah, we have a CMS Innovation Center strategy landing page now. And so you can find an earlier health affairs blog post that was published that kind of previewed the white paper and early thinking from CMS leadership there. You can find the white paper. We also have some frequently asked questions documents that we've generated from patient groups, providers, others asking questions coming out of the white paper. And some of this information will be refreshed regularly. So as we kind of hear from the community, we'll be kind of updating these materials as well.
Awesome. Purva, I am very excited about what you and your team and the overall CMMI and CMS team is doing in this regard. I think it's going to make a great difference to the outcomes and to the health of every resident of the United States. So I want to just say thanks for your focus and much success in the rollout of the strategy.
Thank you. I think the hard work now is implementation. But Tom, I just want to say thank you for inviting us. And inviting me to speak on behalf of the Innovation Center, and thanks to your listeners, and would welcome your feedback. And, you know, as you go through all your travels and have hear from your listeners, would love your ongoing feedback as well.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Thank you again. I would like to thank the show sponsors, both HP and Intel. HP Engage long lifecycle products provide the stability, safety, and security you need, plus flexibility and performance designed for today and tomorrow. As well, Intel would like you to know we're going above and beyond together with new standards for business with the latest Intel vPro processors, delivering what IT needs for performance, security, remote manageability, and stability. And be sure to check out the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. And remember, connect or follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at Foley Tom, and follow the show's hashtag, The Virtual Shift. I'm Tom Foley. Until the next shift.